Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So, school's about wrapping up, and, you know, what was interesting to me is, you know, the kids have come home, and they're like, yay, school's almost over, no homework. And I'm going, what do you mean? What do you mean, no homework? Yeah, no homework, no real work, no real much of anything. It's almost like playtime for the rest of the year. And we got like 3 weeks left because, you know what? The testing is over. The high-stakes tests, the PSSAs are now over. So it's like, okay, I guess done. Which is, again, another reason why I'm not a big fan of these high-stakes testing and all the stuff that go into it, which is why I've asked Jeanette Dieterman to come talk with us. She's the founder of New York Opt Out. Jeanette, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
So, you know, my kids came home and, you know, no homework, nothing to do for the rest of the year, I guess, because the tests are over.
Yep, that's right. Everything is steered towards the assessments. So, once the assessments are over, it seems like, you know, now what do we do? You know, that was the driving force of the whole year, and that's one of the things that we're really against.
Yeah, I mean, we took a field trip. I was one of the chaperones to my kids' field trip. We went to go see a baseball game. I'm going, I love baseball. I think it's a great trip, but how is that educational? How is that? I'd rather go to a museum or a zoo, or if we're still allowed to have zoos. I'd rather do some of that.
Yeah, a problem we often have with some of the schools around us is our field trips are all packed into the last 2 months of school or last month and a half of school because of the state assessment. So for us, it's let's hold off on anything, you know, whole child until, you know, after the testing's done. Now we're going to pack in all those field trips. So yet another issue with, gearing everything towards these state assessments.
It's really remarkable how education has changed in the country, you know, from when I was in school to think the way things are now. And I think most parents, especially if they're older, like my wife and I are, we think it's like, you know, like, hey, when we were in school, it's all the same. Nothing's changed. But things have really gotten much more high pressure. And I remember sweating out tests, and I remember sweating out, you know, the midterms and report cards and all that stuff. But this is a whole nother animal.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, a lot of people say to us, you know, oh, come on, I remember taking tests. They don't understand that this is just a completely different thing from what it was in the past. Because in the past, most assessments that kids took were diagnostic. Now, all these high-stakes tests that kids are taking are to serve a mandate, is to fulfill some kind of, you know, thing that the schools are saying you have to do this. Well, why do we have to do this? Is it for the teacher? No, it's for the state. Or the state says, oh, well, it's because of the federal government. So it all seems to be, you know, so far and grossly out of whack from what is a test supposed to be for. It is supposed to improve their you know, learning experience. It's supposed to help the teachers. And all these assessments these kids are taking nowadays do nothing of the sort.
You know, I was talking to one parent, and I said, you know, imagine, do you remember taking the SATs or the ACTs? And you could tell me if you think this is a bad analogy. And I was saying, you know, it's the way I understand it. It's like taking the SATs every day for 2 weeks.
Right. I mean, you know, there are hours and hours and hours of testing. You know, our 8-year-olds are taking longer tests now than college students. And this is just so, you know, not what teaching learning is supposed to be about.
But we want to know if our kids is learning. If you remember George Bush's thing, we got to know, is our kids
learning? Right. Yep. And you know, that's one of the things that we're always talking about now is when we're trying to explain what it is that we want and what it is that we don't want. You know, most parents, when they say, well, how are we possibly, you know, that's the argument. How do we possibly know what kids, you know, are learning? Or how do we possibly know if a school is a good school? How do we know if a teacher is a good teacher? And what we're doing is we're using the wrong measuring stick. The measuring sticks that we're using are broken. They don't work. They're out of whack. The numbers are wrong. You know, we're not using common sense when it comes to trying to figure those things out. Most everyone knows, you know, what schools are the good schools and what schools are the bad schools. And what do we say the bad school? It's really socioeconomic.
Right.
It's you know, kids in poverty. It's districts in poverty. It's no funding. It's those are the things that, make a school a, quote, bad school. And it really is just coming down to resources. But yet we're going to use this thermometer to constantly take the temperature and do nothing about a fever. You know, oh, yes, it's a fever. Yep, it's a fever again. Yep, let's take it again. Let's keep taking that temperature, but yet we don't do anything to actually fix the problem.
No, you're right.
Because
I remember when we began opting our kids out of the tests, and it's been back now, I guess, 5 or 6 years. You know, I tell this story often. It was my oldest daughter playing school with the other two, with the two younger siblings, and saying, you know, if you don't pass this test, they're going to take money from us, and you know, they're going to close the school. And it was just kind of a matter of fact thing, to where you go, you know, no fifth grader should know that.
Right, right. And this is we're putting everything on our kids. We're saying that they're responsible now for evaluating the teacher. They're responsible for keeping their schools from closing. They're responsible for making sure, you know, that funding is what it is. I mean, this is now they're shifting the responsibility onto the shoulders of our youngest learners. And you know, don't for a minute think that they don't know that these kids don't pick up on just what is at stake when they have to sit for these assessments.
So what is the way forward? I mean, because it doesn't look like these are going anywhere soon. I know you guys have done a really great job of you know, getting people to opt out of it and push the conversation. You know, what should parents be doing? And I mean, this year is already over, obviously, but you know, in going forward, what should parents be thinking about and pushing for?
Right. Well, the first thing is certainly to not participate in the problem. If you participate in the problem is going to continue. We always post memes and things that say what you allow is what will continue. So you can't say, I don't agree with everything being geared to this test. I don't agree with this kind of test. I don't agree with what they're using the test for, and then have your child sit for it. So, you know, opting out is obviously the very first thing that has to be done. So in New York, you know, we have 250,000 kids that are opting out every year, and what that's done is forced changes through. Now, we haven't gotten everything we want because we're up against a tremendous amount of money. This is all about privatizing. So this really comes down to the, you know, the charter industry, the privatizers, the, you know, the reformers, and there is just, you know, billions of dollars in this market, and that's what we're up against. However, we have enough parents pushing back that we also have a tremendous amount of power, and legislators are very nervous about us, and we are a voting bloc. So, you know, organizing yourselves. So besides just opting out, you know, join your opt-out groups in your state. Every state has them. And joining those groups and joining forces and paying attention to what it is that's happening and being ready to act. So in New York, you know, we'll put out petitions or we'll have action alerts and ask people to click on something and it sends a letter automatically to the legislators or the state education department. And keeping that pressure on and keeping that voice raised is what will eventually start to shift things. The conversation has shifted. I mean, when the opt-out movement first started, you know, there was, first of all, no such thing as resisting these assessments. Plus, high-stakes testing was just, you know, that was just commonplace, and it was just sort of the way, the direction that we were headed. And now, you know, the word Common Core is now so taboo that nobody can say that. Now, you know, even high-stakes testing is completely out of fashion. And again, that's because you have to just keep pushing and pushing to shift that conversation.
Yeah, and one of the things that bothers me is, you know, in looking at some of the testing stuff that's in there, you know, it's not even stuff that a lot of the kids have been exposed to. And that's one of the things that, you know, I had asked the teachers before, are we sure that the kids are exposed to everything that's going to be on these tests so that they have the opportunity to prove what they know? Because, you know, when I was a kid, my mother was always like, you know, tests are about, you know, proving that you've learned what you're supposed to know, and it gives you an opportunity to show that. But if you've not been exposed to it, how can you prove how you've learned it or that you know it if you haven't been exposed to it? And that's one of these things with these standardized tests is, you know, they're broad based and there's no real forgiveness in them.
No. And, you know, that's when we go back to, you know, what is a good test or what is a test for? What's the purpose of a test? These tests don't hold water to what a good test is, and they don't hold water to what it's for. These are not diagnostic tests in any way. These tests were meant to prove that schools are failing in order to privatize. So that if you understand that that's the basic premise of this test, then clearly you're not going to get a test that is diagnostic. You're not going to get a test that actually truly measures what kids know. And a standardized test can't really do that. You're assuming then that everyone is learning the exact same thing at the exact same time, which is really what they wanted, you know, education to start looking like, and that's just not reality. So therefore, when you're giving us the same test to the entire state, you know, you are going to have totally mismatched you know, questions to what the curriculum is, to what kids are learning in this class to this class, in this area to this area. You know, and then you then take into account the fact that all of our standards, because they're all basically based on Common Core, they're all out of whack. So now when you have standards that are not appropriate for grade level and they're all over the place, and now states are trying to, you know, mess around with cut scores and figure out how to sort of fake it till they make it, it's, you know, you have these tests based on those standards that will be equally completely out of whack.
Yeah, I mean, I sit here and I think, you know, exactly how much money we've spent over the years on these tests and, you know, Education Incorporated as a whole. You know, all the curriculum that we developed through charter schools that was supposed to be developed and then passed along through best practice seems to have been patented and then sold back to us. It just seems like, you know, all of this resource could have been used in a much, much better way for students, but it's really not about the students, is it?
No, it's not anything about them at all. This is politics, and they're just caught in the middle, unfortunately, these kids. And, you know, that's what has to change. We have to, first of all, start having people that know what they're doing, actual educators. You know, crazy thought. Educators should be the ones setting education policy.
Yeah, but we don't trust those lazy and greedy teachers. Come on, they're lazy and greedy. All they want is their big pensions and their golden health care.
That's right. And, you know, it's one of the few fields where you don't have any of the experts who are actually setting policy. And it's absolutely outrageous when you think of that this is just none of this. Even the tests, I mean, when you think of who's creating all these assessments for each of the states, it's not even educators. So then we wonder why the tests are so poorly constructed and if they become a joke. Well, you know, you don't even have educators making these assessments. So how could they possibly be good assessments? We really need to honestly scrap it and start over and start looking at what really is best for kids. And, you know, I'm not even talking about going back to the way we used to do it. I'm talking about really developing some whole child policies that are going to look at education in a completely different light. You know, where everybody talks about Finland, they talk about all these other countries where they have huge successes. Now, part of that is the makeup of their countries, but another part of it is because they're doing something different. They're looking at the child first and saying, what is best for this child? How does this child learn? How do they, you know, even from play-based in elementary school, there is research that backs that up. But yet we completely ignore research and we just go with the political, you know, pushing of high-stakes testing.
Yeah, grill, drill, and punish.
That's right.
But that's really profitable, and that's what's important. Now, you had done a video that I'm highly suggesting people take a look at over at the Network for Public Education, and we'll get a link out so people can take a look at it. Because, you know, I think, you know, we get things in nice two-minute bites. I thought you did a really good job in this video, though.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, you know, we were trying to show that of the real impact. You know, a lot of times we hear about the stuff that's a little more in the clouds on a lot of these things, but we need to keep the focus on how this actually affects the child in the classroom. You know, we have the same problem in New York with, you know, bills that get introduced and we're going to do this with the valuation system and the APPR and all this. But then, you know, what we try to do in my organization is we always say, but what about the child? Like let's, yeah, that's great, this legislation, that, but let's look at what's happening to this kid every single day in the classroom, and is this going to help that? Yeah. And if it's not, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, we just keep losing sight of what this is about.
Yeah, and we've got to allow teachers to do what they do, and that is teach. I mean, at the end of the day, they're more than just facilitators or factory workers.
That's right.
It just seems sane and rational to me. But Jeanette, I appreciate you taking time for us, sharing some of your experiences and your thoughts, and keep up the great work.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. It's mind-blowing. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Tell me what you think, what you know. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Well, we're in my head in the clouds.